I believe our next subject is aspirations as a means of cultivating the presence of God. I would like to cover two areas today, both that subject and the next one on how to overcome internal resentments. We might begin by asking ourselves what aspirations are. So the rather long definition, but I think it's worth giving. Aspirations are short prayers, vocal or mental, made either regularly or periodically. In order to remain in the presence of God and respond to His constant providence in our lives. Aspirations are short prayers, vocal or mental, made either regularly or periodically, in order to remain in the presence of God and respond to His constant providence in our lives. You notice we say that aspirations are short prayers. The word itself comes from the Latin aspirare, to breathe. Now, some people take longer breaths and some take shorter breaths. So some people's aspirations are longer and others are shorter. But they more or less correspond to a breath and can be spoken in a breath. It is well to know that the church grants indulgences for aspirations, whether they are vocal or mental, so that even though the indulgence is attached to, say, a prayer formula, we gain the indulgence even without vocalizing the prayer. Aspirations are either made regularly, which is a good habit, certain times of the day, certain occasions, where there's a regulation, there's a sequence, or periodically. In other words, as the occasion requires. Their twofold purpose, we're talking about aspirations, their twofold purpose recognized by the church is to remain in the presence of God. God is always near us and within us, but needless to say, we are not always aware of Him. Aspirations help us to remain consciously in God's presence. And secondly, and much more significantly, aspirations are the way that we are normally to respond to God's constant providence in our lives. His providence is being exercised every moment. To recognize the activity of His providence is almost spontaneously to evoke an aspiration. It may be painful providence. So then we have an aspiration, Lord, help me. It may be a pleasant providence. Thanks, Lord. In any case, God's providence is always active, and we are to be aware of that, show our awareness in prayer. What are the kinds of aspirations recognized in spiritual literature? First, in terms of length, there are shorter, there are longer. Some people, because of their personality and cast of mind, prefer longer aspirations. They need them. If it's just one or two words, they seem to forget what they said. This should be adjusted for each person. There are times when we have more time. The aspirations can be longer. There are times when you have almost no time, and they will be shorter. Secondly, the different kinds in terms of formality. I have found over the years that aspirations correspond to different kinds of personality. The more formal, reserved, logical, calculating personalities will have corresponding, logical, formal, calculating aspirations. And it is good to know that this is where, in training others, we should allow them to pretty much express themselves as their personality requires. It would be a mistake to urge formality on people who are notoriously informal. Then, between vocal or mental aspirations, a good rule that I have found over the years, it's not an easy habit to get into, but it is priceless. If you can cultivate and help others to cultivate the habit of making mental aspirations, even while they are, say, engaged in conversation, in other words, I'm in class, like now, over the telephone. It'll behoove a teacher to intersperse his class lecture with loud vocal aspirations. They could be misunderstood. To look at someone, I'm reverent, I'm teaching. Lord, help me. So, mental aspirations are absolutely invaluable to get into the habit of making, even while my mind and my lips, my body may be otherwise necessarily engaged. In other words, we can think on more than one level at the same time, especially when what we're saying or doing is fairly routine or the ideas kind of flow. Aspirations are best when they are spontaneous. What about a method of developing aspirations? It is a good thing to have what I call reminders that will evoke or arouse an aspiration. Now, God will provide all kinds of reminders in our lives when we better make an aspiration. Otherwise, we won't make it. Or, more often, we won't take it. But having holy cards, having symbols, having a crucifix, having something strategically placed, I don't mean all over. I remember once walking into the living quarters of a chaplain of a sister's community. I couldn't believe my eyes. His parlor was literally filled with statues. If there was one, there were 100 statues in not too large a room. That, I would say, is, from most people, excessive. A religious habit is a reminder. Something you have placed in front of you at a strategic angle. A glance out the window. Some saints have the habit of turning periodically towards the Blessed Sacrament, say in a community house, and to make an act of adoration or spiritual communion, something which externally arouses, symbolizes, evokes an aspiration. The second thing is to get into the habit. As you know, we cultivate a habit by repeating an action. And that's all you've got to do. An acquired habit is acquired by repetition. The two conditions for cultivating a habit on this level are sameness and frequency. In other words, it's a good idea to concentrate on one or the other aspiration for a while to get into the habit of making that one. We scatter our forces with all kinds of aspirations. It's harder to cultivate the habit. In time, we may have induced the habit, even with many different kinds of aspirations. Better to concentrate on some one kind and then frequency. Fourth area of coverage, indulgences. It is a good thing to have at hand the enchiridion of indulgence prayers, in which, as you know, there are many indulgenced aspirations. Faith tells us, the Church teaches, that there are certain acts of piety, here aspirations, which, if they carry an indulgence, give us greater merit than if we just put some thoughts of our own together. On the other hand, there is in the Church's teaching on indulgences now a general norm which says, whenever we endure something painful or do something charitable and combine the endurance or the act of charity with a short aspiration, we gain an indulgence each time we do that. Good to know that. This is brand new in the Church's teaching on indulgences. And most of us don't have to wait or hope that we'll have something painful enter our lives. There's usually plenty of it each day. Now, Divine Providence. In terms of aspirations, What we are talking about here is that God is always visiting us with His grace, providing us with opportunities for doing His will. That, by the way, is a good description of providence. God constantly providing us with opportunities for doing His will. Now watch this. The moment our mind recognizes such an opportunity, and in general it will be either to endure what is painful or to do something to fulfill His command, or at least His will or wish. Whenever such an opportunity presents itself, we must be sure that God will also give us the grace. Where does the aspiration come in? The aspiration comes in on two levels. Level one. I see an opportunity, and I make an aspiration to obtain the grace I need to fulfill God's will in this situation. There is no built-in guarantee that because God provides the opportunity, He will automatically give me the grace. He expects me. He may give me the grace without further asking, but He may not. To make sure I get the grace, I ask for it. That's the first function of aspirations. In a given day, depending on what the circumstances are, 20, 30, 40 such occasions is not unusual. Little things. Something goes wrong. For example, I gave a lecture in Maryland last night. To make it to the airport in Washington by 7:30 in the morning to catch the plane to come here, there's no way I could have traveled almost an hour from Maryland to the airport. So the priest who sponsored the lecture had a friend, manager of the Holiday Inn near the airport, put me up for the night, and the manager didn't charge anything. I was told there was transportation provided. Came downstairs, delivered my key. Well, the bus won't be around for about another hour. So I started a walk. Fortunately, a truck driver delivering newspapers saw me walking. Can I give you a lift? Well, I made it. So as the cashier told me I couldn't get transportation to the airport, I made an aspiration. If I hadn't made it, I might have walked it, but I might not have reached the airport in time. You follow the logic. God provides the opportunity, but first level of aspirations, we ask for the grace to live up to that opportunity. But secondly, even as we are undertaking to do what we know God wants us to do, we need a further grace, not only to know what to do, or even the strength to do it, we need the grace to correspond with the grace In other words, theologically, we call the first grace antecedent grace, and we call the second consequent or corresponding grace. The first grace gives us the capacity to do something. The second grace enables us to actually do what we're supposed to do. Aspirations, as I've just described them, are as necessary in the spiritual life as the air we breathe is necessary to sustain us physically. Now, some benefits. I have 12 benefits of aspirations. Let me just say a word about each. First, aspirations make us and keep us aware of God. They make and keep us aware of God in our minds. Secondly, aspirations enable us to respond to God's will during the day. The key, of course, is to make aspirations literally as spontaneous as breathing. At first, for some people, may be a bit wooden or artificial, but in time, we need to breathe in God's grace. Third, aspirations provide the grace of the moment. Not that we couldn't do something without the aspiration and the corresponding grace, but we can do it better, more effectively. And God will provide, well, it's less than 4 hours ago, marvelously. That truck driver, in fact, as he dropped me off, I felt a little silly getting off of the airport in a truck. But he said, "Father, here's a paper to read on the plane." Aspirations pay. They're the grace of the moment. Fourthly, grace for the future. There is no better way of taking care of worries. Worries are always about the future. So don't waste your worries. Make them occasions for prayer. That's why God sends us problems and troubles. See, we will think of Him. Not only at the moment when we're supposed to do something, but something we are worried about, concerned. What will happen? What is going to happen anyhow? Whatever God wants will take place. And aspiration arms me for the future. Fifth, aspirations are a wonderful way of obtaining mercy for our failings. Mercy from God. That's why God allows us to say silly things, to make fools of ourselves, to commit sins. He must have a reason. Otherwise, being God, He couldn't allow it. What's one good reason? Once we realize, we come to our senses, we tell God, "Lord, I'm sorry." You may be sure when Peter, once he came to his senses after he had denied Christ, made an aspiration and kept making them for the rest of his life. Sixth, aspirations cultivate humility of dependence on God. Humility has a thousand forms. There is none more basic than the humility of a constant awareness of my dependence on God. Seventh, aspirations make marvelous, and I've got four A's. They make marvelous acts of adoration, admiration, attention, and affection. Adoration, admiration, attention, and affection, of course, towards God. Eight. Aspirations are perfect acts of gratitude. Some people specialize in reflecting on all the bad things, the dark things that happened, say, during the day. And they seldom reflect, Ignatius taught us, from the novitiate on, twice a day, to think of the good things that God has done for me, if I'm doing it at noon, since I got up, if at night, before I retire. If we don't get into the habit of thinking of the good things that God has done for us, we will not cultivate what is necessary, even for salvation, a sense of gratitude. No one is grateful in the abstract. Be specific. Be definite. And either the recollection of something pleasant or when a pleasant thing occurs. We are forever thanking people, right? A little favor, thanks. Aspirations are a spontaneous way of thanking God. Nine. Aspirations protect a person from self-complacency. In other words, we are so prone to take satisfaction in ourselves, to bask in the sunlight of our own achievements. Aspirations keep us aware of the fact that whatever is good in us is from God.
Please turn over to side B and push the play button immediately without rewinding the tape.